The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but it's like adding color to a television or a really boring picture. It's fun and it sounds cool. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Just take a look around. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't, but we probably should. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Always a great question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes. Your phone calls and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that process. How do you go through not just the ups, but the downs, not just the downs, but the ups? How do you go through these things as a Christian? How do you look at things with Jesus' glasses? How do you know that Jesus is in the picture? And how do you see that Jesus is in the picture? We're talking about that. And we're talking about that on a 360, 24/7 basis, not on twice a week, not on twice a month, not twice a year, but every day. So that's what we're talking about. If you got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, something that's going on in your life, maybe the Lord's working on something that's really cool and you're really growing in it, just want to share that. Maybe you have a praise report or a prayer request. We've been praying for Deborah, for some of her friends, and praying for all the people on our radio audience. We want to just keep everybody connected and keep everybody praying. Again, praying for one another takes all of, 10 seconds. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it does take a heart commitment. So that's the key element in there. If you want to reach out to us because you want to share something, or later on you want to answer a Bible trivia, whatever, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. That's where Terrific T will answer the phone. Always a pleasant experience to talk to her. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, let me give you a couple of just general updates. So yesterday I had a chance, for those that have been listening to the show, following the show, I had a chance to see my daughter and my three grandchildren who were in Tennessee. And then we met at my son's house and my daughter-in-law's house and their three children. So this is the first time that we know of, or that ever, that we had all six kids, all six grandkids. We had Julian and Jared, and we had Josh and Ashley. And so we were all at Josh and Ashley's house, and then the six grandkids, and then Noelle and I were there. And what was really, I will say, the couple of cool things that came out of there is, as a grandparent, you're kind of proud. You know, it's like in the sense of you thinking, that's cool, right? But then there was this other part of me that was thinking, how cool is this? I don't have to really do anything. What they forget to tell you about the grandparent part that's supposed to be really fantastic is when you look at a little kid and it's like, I think that kid's got a full diaper. Time to go to work, mom and dad. It's kind of nice to be able just to chill out, relax, and enjoy the family and not have to be overly concerned. So anyway, thank you all for your prayers. I saw Easton, and we kind of did some communications with him. He looks better than he has ever looked before. And that's just the reality check. So I'm very excited about that. And all the kids, they get along great and they love each other. It's just fantastic just to see it. And it's been over a year and a half since there's been any kind of gathering like that. So what a blessing for all of us to participate in. So thank you for your prayers. And I will keep praying for you and you keep praying for me. Okay, before we get going too deep into family issues, I want to talk to you about this one portion in Scripture. Pretty simple. I got a couple things coming out of Matthew a little further down than what our teaching has been. This talks about Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31. Can you spare a penny? How many of you, let's just be honest, how many of you, if nowadays, if you see a penny, it's like, oh, it's a penny. Like back 50 years ago, if you saw a penny, it was like a penny, right? Now, if it's a penny, it's like it takes a lot of effort to bend over, pick up that penny, right? All right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31 says the following. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. So fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So we've talked about this text before. I imagine we'll talk about it again down the road in the future. And I think one of the key elements that you try to figure out in this is Jesus is talking about the value of two sparrows. And two sparrows and the value of the marketplace where Jesus was at that time was the equivalent to one penny. That really puts the sparrow at a pretty low value. I understand PETA's out there. PETA, by the way, stands for People Eating Tasty Animals. Anyway, the bottom line is two sparrows, one penny, not a lot of value there. I think we can get that, right? It's not a deep math problem. Probably something we all would have got right on a math test in the third or fourth or even the second grade. Here's the truth, though. Not one of those two sparrows fall to the ground apart from your father. Because in the economy of God, every entity, every being has a value greater than that man can assess to it, higher and on a different plane than man can assess to it. So God will not even allow two sparrows of human mind of no worth, less than a penny. Not one will fall to the ground apart from your father. Not one of them will perish. Not one of them will crash. Not one of them will be hungry without the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus in his teaching moves that to make a point, to make a contrasting point. He then talks about us. So he goes from the animals that has no value, less than a penny, and he moves that conversation to you and I. And he simply says, not one of them is going to fall to the ground, but even the hairs on your head are all numbered. You cannot possibly pick a less significant issue in humanity than how many actual hairs you have unless you are so vain that you would spray paint your head so that it looks like you have hair. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like how many hairs? I just want to make sure I keep my 10 fingers and 10 toes, right? That's all I'm working on. And so how many hairs on my head? I don't know. And yet God bothers to take the time to number. Oh, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Mine's been in subtraction since I was 30. Just saying, it started at, if it was a million, it's down to, you know, 200,000. I'm just saying it goes the other way. But my point in this is for you to understand, it's so important to God that every single strand of hair that you have gets a number, an identification mark from God, a recording. God records not your head of hair, but the individual hairs on your head. And I always love it when people say to me, well, God's too busy for that. God's too busy. He knows how many hairs are on your head. I think he's interested in everything else. And then Jesus drops this in so that we walk in it wisely. Don't be afraid. And so many of us walk in fear. There is a definite disease in humanity, even in Christians, where there's fear, and fear is an immobilizer. It goes the opposite direction of faith. It's depressing. And it's terrifying. And Jesus says, you know, if God is so concerned about your hair and the numbers of hair that you have, and has each one numbered, each one's tagged, each one's recorded, certainly he's going to have a great care for everything you're going through in matters of the heart and what's going on the inside. And Jesus just makes the statement. People should just recognize the statement. You are of more value than many sparrows. You have greater value to God than all the other creation on the earth because you are his finest creation. And so his great care for you. No fear. You got more divine value than your wallet has. Our value is not by actual dollar worth. Our value is simply defined by God's declaration, the blood of Jesus Christ. What's that worth? That's what he paid for us. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here comes our very first trivia question. Get ready, trivia fans. What Jewish girl married a Persian emperor and helped save her exiled people from extermination? I could read. I'll get there. What Jewish girl married a Persian emperor and helped save her exiled people from extermination? Remember, we're doing women in the Bible for our trivia this week, so you got to think through that. It's a simple thing. If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Very straightforward, nothing complex. I mean, you kind of got to know it's the Old Testament, right? That what Jewish girl married a Persian emperor and helped save her exiled people from extermination? That is your thingy to respond to, okay? All right. I just, for some reason, don't know why anybody wouldn't, but tomorrow we're going to be doing a best of. It's a replay, but it's one that, like, I pick. You know, I go through and I go, yeah, I like that show. That was a good show. And then I pick it and we replay it, because tomorrow we will be going to, as far as I know, we'll be going out together as an entourage or a family to the zoo, is the theory. We'll see if that happens. So all I know is we're all taking the day off so we can spend the whole day together. That's what's happening tomorrow. So there will be a replay. I will be back on Friday. So don't freak out. You know, I mean, many of you are probably thinking, good, you ought to just play music in this place. It's probably not that bad an idea every once in a while. Okay, so that's that. We got the trivia question rolling there. We have our next. Is there something I'm forgetting? I'm not forgetting anything, right? We did the website earlier. Okay, good. I stayed up really late trying to finish a paper so I would be able to give my full attention on Thursday. So if I slip a gear or two, I think you all can know why. You know it's bad when I'm saying y'all right there. See that right there? I'm heading down. Okay, let me share with you this next thing. This is something that came to me as I was in prayer and, you know, about the class. The class that I have right now is a really excellent class. Really talks a lot about discipleship and talks about the things that we need to do in regards to Christians. And then, as you know, a couple days back, I had kind of a rant that I went on. I think that was on Monday, you know, talking about, you know, people overstretching what the kingdom of God is and or isn't. And talked a little bit about our country. We have a great country compared to the other countries on this planet. America is a breeze. I mean, you do not have people telling you in your country how many children you will or won't have. You do not have people in America telling you what you will or won't listen to, what internet you can or cannot connect to, what books you can or cannot read. Not the way that it goes on in other countries. It's very oppressive in other countries. We consider it oppressive. But I think what happens is people think this is so fabulous in regards to our freedoms, this must be the kingdom of God. And it's not. And the reason that I bring that up is simply because I want to review what Jesus said. I think his opinion of the kingdom counts much more, because even though we think things are that way, we're not alone there. Even Johnny B., Johnny Baptist, thought there was a different form of kingdom coming, but Jesus told us what the kingdom is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 through 6. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Jesus, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now, I really want you to grasp that John the Baptist was already praised by Jesus as being one of the great prophets. And here's John in prison. He's going to die. He pretty much knows what's going on. But he does ask Jesus, okay, now, are you the guy? Or is there like a guy coming behind you? Or, you know, because Rome is still in charge here and I'm not seeing a lot of change there. And look at the reply that Jesus gave. This is what I want you to catch. And this is where the kingdom really comes into play. Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus gives his description of what the kingdom is by telling John, "John, look at these works that are being done. Look at these works that I'm doing. This is not a political issue. This is the kingdom of God issue. Look at what's happening. The blind, they're seeing. The lame, they're walking. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are being raised. And the poor have good news preached to them." Six different things Jesus talks about. And these six things Jesus identifies as what we ought to be, this pursuit of understanding the kingdom of God. I just had this thought while I was sharing this with you. Could you imagine if you're a blind person and you are seeking to get some kind of deliverance, and we have people in our hearts that are that way, and the Lord brings that about? Can you imagine that that person would genuinely care what the political affiliation is if they have that opportunity to be granted that gift of seeing? Or could you imagine somebody who is lame and cannot walk, how they would feel it's really important to represent their country in their healing? It's like, that's not how that works. A person who can't walk, if they can walk, they that's what they want. People that are poor have the good news. They want something good to hang on to. Deaf people can hear. This is what the kingdom is. And when we go through these struggles, even though we don't get everything we want here and now, there's coming a point where we will, where there'll be full restoration. And Jesus is the initiator of the new kingdom of God, the manifest kingdom of God. And people aren't going to sit there and go, "Well, you know, I wasn't actually able to sing my national anthem when this happened, so I'm not sure I'm going to really accept this healing." Do you see that? I'm looking for it in the text. Let me see. Nope. Lepers are cleansed. Do you know the thing about lepers that people don't talk about? Leprosy, by the way, is still around today. Even though people say it's not, sure it is. I mean, of course it is. But lepers, nobody would ever talk to them. There was no social network. There was no anything. Back then, there was nothing. You were isolated and gone. Do you think they cared where they came? They would just like to be able to have somebody hug them. That would have been great. Well, that's what Jesus is bringing. He's bringing these deliverances. He's bringing us hope. He's bringing us this change. And the reason that I harp on it is because how superior this kingdom is, and when it ultimately manifests, will be like Jesus. Now watch this. Will be like Jesus. All our tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more pain and suffering. It's like, wow. That's a place I want to be a citizen of. That's where I want my citizenship. Well, it's not a coincidence that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16, talk to us about having our citizenship in heaven, and that we're looking for another city whose builder and maker is God, not man. That's why we need to understand what Jesus said in this very last verse of this text. "And blessed is the one who's not offended in me." What he's saying is, I'm delivering to you the actual goods of what the kingdom of God is. And if you're so dead set that it's got to be this way or no way, then for you it's going to be no way. Because you are blessed if you're not offended by me, because my way is the way and the only way. People are like, how arrogant. He is God. He gets to say what he wants. I'm sorry. I'm telling you. I keep saying this all the time. If a Martian came down last in Washington, D.C., whatever that Martian would say, people would go, okay. I mean, they'd be okay. It's just like, you know, Jesus says that he's God manifest in the flesh. He has something to say. People go, ah. Just think about that. It's like, wow, that's weird. And yet what he has to say is critical for us to live. And he's offering us a kingdom, a citizenship in a new place. Oh, and the place is so good. It's going to be so great. Now, I can't dance. So let me just say this real fast. I'm a terrible dancer, okay? But in heaven, I won't care. That's the bottom line. I'll dance on streets of gold. Fortunately for me, I won't have my picture taken and put up on the big, you know, billboard. So what? Because it won't matter, because it'll be glorious. That's what we're looking for. That kingdom, that place. No matter how great it is here, when Jesus is in charge of it, it will be greater. Period. All right. Trivia question. What Jewish girl married a Persian emperor and helped save her exiled people from extermination? The answer to that, of course, is Esther. Oh, Joy added something. Hadassah was Esther's Jewish name. Thank you, Joy. And thank you, Cordy. Very nice. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Top of the hour. We'll see you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running. Running and running.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
On the phone with us today, our privilege to have Kirk Cameron, who is coordinating the conference for Love Worth Fighting For, a marriage event. Kirk, are you with us?
I'm here.
I'm glad.
I'm here. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's my privilege to have you on the show. I'm glad you're joining us. I got to tell you, here's something that nobody knows in all the world except for my wife. When you did the movie Fireproof in the 2008 period, it is the only movie in my entire life, and I'm in that post-50 category, it's the only movie in my entire life that I gave to other friends as long as I've been alive because I thought it would be beneficial for their marriage. It was truly an inspirational movie that in my marriage, it's a great marriage. It just encouraged me to make it that much greater.
Oh man, that's great to hear. That encourages me a lot, and I've heard other people have said that as well. And you know, my hat goes off to the guys who wrote the script and the church that made the movie. And I was really honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, you did a great job, man. I really got to tell you, man. I know there's you got things that you grow up with, and you did things with, but that kind of stuff, where you have an opportunity and you were able to play a character that really conveys. Hey, at times in marriage, there's a struggle, but there's this promise from the Lord. There's this capacity from the Lord to have a marriage that gets better and better as long as you're in it and not sitting on the outside watching it.
Right on, man. I often say that marriage never fails. Marriages do not fail. People fail. God made the universe. He made it perfect, and we introduced some sin, selfishness, death, destruction into it, and we do the same with marriage. It's perfect, and then we allow bitterness, unforgiveness to creep in and stay there. So what the Love Worth Fighting For event is all about, what Fireproof is all about, and by the way, Love Worth Fighting For, our marriage event, grew out of the Fireproof movie. It basically takes the movie and turns it into a live event. And we bring it to your church, and we talk about those kind of things, is how to resurrect a marriage that has been damaged by selfishness and by bitterness. And where do you find joy and hope and healing? God gives us the capacity for those things, and we talk about where you find it.